Good evening. It is certainly a joy to be with you once again on this wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day, and it has been a great day thus far, with opportunities to worship our God together, to study from His Word, as we've done already this morning, and as we'll continue to do tonight, and just to be together, to praise God together. And it has been a wonderful day, and it is so good to see you here once again, worshiping God as we have thus far. I want to begin just by sharing a simple note of appreciation, especially as we have been together and as we have had opportunity to study together as we have, but just an appreciation to the shepherds that we have working with us here. Five men, three of them I like better than the others because two aren't here. We'll let you pick out Ted and Keith. They just miss out on all the appreciation. They've missed it completely. So all my appreciation goes to Tim and Kevin and Morgan. They're here, so no, I'm just kidding. But those five guys, they have a heavy responsibility, but it's one that they welcome. It is a responsibility that they welcome, and it is a responsibility that they take seriously. And all you folks know that as well. It is responsibility to lead here, and the role that they fill in the Lord's kingdom, and especially here at this place, it is a role and a leadership that they take seriously. And it's not as if they are leading from some distant place. They are here with us, out in front, hands on, by way of example, Kevin this morning, taking the opportunity to put a lesson together, taking an opportunity to lead from the front, taking an opportunity to share his thoughts about God's word. And it certainly, it is refreshing and it is encouraging to know that we have men working alongside us and helping us along through this journey. Men like that who take it seriously to help us make it to heaven. That's what they want for each and every one of us. That's what they want. That's it. That's all that they want. They want each and every one of us, every member here at Traders Point, to get to heaven. That's what they want. And they do their very best to help us along the way. So I certainly appreciate those men and their willingness to teach, as they all do, and their willingness even to preach, as happened this morning. And it has been really a good day. Not because I didn't have to preach this morning. That was okay. I was all right sitting. But just appreciate them so much for the work that they do. Let's talk a little bit about where we're going to go tonight. We're going to look to the pages of the Old Testament for a moment this evening. The pages of the Old Testament are filled with incredible Bible characters. Men and women who come to the front, and men and women whose stories are told that when you read them, it is sometimes even difficult to grab hold of. The reality of what takes place, the reality of what they went through, the reality of the things that they did, the story is told. And for us to think about men and women that we read about in the Old Testament, men like Noah and all that he did, or men like Abraham, or men like Moses and Joshua or David. I mean, men like this, or women that we read about, like Rahab and like Deborah or Esther or Ruth. I mean, incredible stories that for the most part we're familiar with. I mean, if we were to take a poll this morning and I ask you, who knows the name of Noah? Everybody, for the most part, is going to raise their hand. We know Noah. We know about him. Or if you know Moses, do you know the man Moses? Again, most of us would be like, yes, I'm familiar with Moses, and I can tell his story. And although our scriptures are filled with incredible stories of men and women that are striking to read, there are other people mentioned throughout Scripture that may not be mentioned as often or by name as often, but their stories are no less spectacular and no less faith-building for each and every one of us. And I want to pull one of those stories out. A man that's not mentioned by name, but just a couple of times. But the role that he fills is so vital and is so important. And the encouragement and application that we can draw from his story, I think that is something that can help each and every one of us immediately right now with our walk with God. We think about the book of Exodus specifically, and we think about the story of the children of Israel and their release from Egypt, and the spectacular story that is involved even with that, about how Moses goes to Pharaoh and demands for Pharaoh to let the people go, the people of God, and he's just not willing to do that. And then God devastating Egypt through the plagues, devastating that nation. And ultimately, God's people are freed. And they make their way into the promised land, the land that God had promised so long ago to Abraham, that his descendants, that his ancestors would be given this land by God, that promised land. And Moses leads the people out of Egypt, and they make their way to this promised land, a time that God and his people build this covenant relationship. It is a relationship that is building, God and his people. We're familiar with the story on Mount Sinai where God delivers his law to the people through Moses. And we can read about that law given to us in the pages of the Old Testament. The law of God, this covenant of God with his people. That the way that they will live and the way that they will operate. And the way that they would behave themselves. All given to us here as they prepare themselves to enter into this land that would be theirs, given to them by God. And as we read all of these stories, and we see this journey that was taken, and we see the law that was given, in Exodus chapter 25, as God is going through all of these things with Moses and with the people, the law has been delivered, and in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8, the text tells us that you hear, let them make me, God says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you. That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. As God delivers his law to the people, he says, make me a place to be with you. It's a remarkable story. Yes, God is there. Yes, God is speaking. Yes, God is leading them. But he says, I want you to make me a place, make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell with you. What an important thing that this was going to be. What an incredibly important feat that this was going to be, the making of this sanctuary that God has asked for. The making of all of the things that are going to go inside of this sanctuary, the tabernacle that God has asked for. What an important thing that this was going to be, so important that from Exodus chapter 25 beginning, you have chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter. If you do a daily Bible reading throughout the year, you're familiar with this section of Scripture, right? It's all of these chapters right in a row where God says, the tabernacle and everything that's going to be in it, I want you to make in this very specific way. And it is chapter after chapter of God saying, I want you to make this in this way, and I want you to make this in this way, and I want you to make this in this way. You have in Exodus chapter 25 the specific instructions regarding the Ark of the Covenant and how it's to be made. The specific instructions concerning the table of showbread and the golden lampstands that would be there at the tabernacle. In chapter 26, we'll talk about the curtains that would be there, the wooden boards and beams, the veil involved in the tabernacle, both the outer veil and the inner veil. In chapter 27, instructions concerning the bronze altar and the court surrounding the tabernacle. In chapter 28, specific instructions regarding even the clothes that the priests would wear. In chapter 30, specific instructions concerning the altar of incense and the bronze laver. In chapter 31, more specific instructions, specifically now about the tabernacle itself. And then in chapters 36 through 40, You have all of these instructions going to work. That the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and the altars and everything that's involved is now going to be built. And so you have really from chapter 25 of the book of Exodus all the way to the chapter 40 of the book of Exodus. It is the instructions on the building of this sanctuary, this place that God says, I want built so I can dwell with you. How important was that to God? Well, you read the book of Exodus, and it comes across pretty important. It's not just, I want you to throw something up for me. I want it this way. And you can read through all the texts there and find out that it was not a corner-cutting situation. It was not a, let's find the cheapest material so that we can build it very quickly. It was, let's build this sanctuary out of the very best that there is. The very best of precious metals, the very best of linens, the very best of the wood. You build this out of the very best because it would be a place that God would dwell. So we read all of that. We read about all of these instructions. And now it comes to the story of a man. A man who would then be tasked with doing all of these things. In Exodus chapter 31, beginning in verse 1, we read about a man that's not mentioned, but just a couple of times, by name in Scripture. Now, the word he is found in Exodus 25 through 40 lots of times. And a lot of those times, the he that you'll find is in reference to the man that we're going to talk about. But by name, he's given to us just a couple of times. And I want to read his story for tonight in Exodus chapter 31. And I think there are a couple of good applications for us. As we read the story of the man who would be tasked with being a head, the general contractor, if you will, the man given the responsibility to make sure that all of these instructions about all of the pieces of the tabernacle would end up the way that God said, a man by the name of Bezalel. And if I were to ask you at the very beginning of the lesson, and I were to ask you, hey, who knows Noah? Lots of people would raise their hand. Or who knows Moses? Lots of people would raise their hand. Or who's familiar with Esther? Lots of people would raise their hand. Or who's familiar with Bezalel? We wouldn't have too many hands. But it is a remarkable story in Exodus 31 and really important lessons for each and every one of us. Let's read it together. I'm in Exodus chapter 31, beginning of verse 1. We're going to go down to verse 11. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. To design artistic work, to work in gold and silver and bronze and cutting jewels for setting and carving wood and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahazamach, the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all who are gifted artisans that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting. The Ark of the Testimony, the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests. And the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. And so what you have here in Exodus chapter 31 After God has laid out all of the instructions pertaining to the things that we've just read about here in Exodus 31, he says, I have given the task to get this job done of building my sanctuary, of building the place that I'm going to dwell. I've given that task to Bezalel. And now immediately, Bezalel has a heavy responsibility. He is the one in charge. He is the one in charge of getting this incredible task done. And because of that, you have to say, what an incredible man he must have been. What an incredible man he must have been. And in his story, as we've made mention before, there are strong applications for us today. And in our time that we have, I want to point out two of them that are important things that we see specifically from his story. And the very first is this. He was called by God. He was called by God, by name even, for this commission. As we look back to the beginning of our text in Exodus chapter 31, we look to the very beginning of that, we need to first make mention of who is speaking. Verse 1 lets us know that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the Lord is the one who is saying these things. Now, Moses will deliver this message, but this isn't Moses saying, the Lord has said. What we have just read is God speaking. He is the one who's speaking to Moses. He is the one who makes mention of Bezalel. And I want you to notice, because it's so interesting, the wording of it, where he says, I have called by name, Bezalel. I have called by name, Bezalel. I've been thinking a lot about just that phrase. The idea of being called for something certainly is an important concept in Scripture. We'll talk more about that here in just a moment. But the way that that's phrased, I have called by name this man, Bezalel. It reminded me, and probably because it's where a lot of my study has been, because John Morgan and I are teaching the book of Job, it almost reminded me a little bit of that. Because in the story of Job at the very beginning, in Job chapter 1 and 2, and we're familiar with, you know, the conversation that Satan and God is having, and Job comes up. But it's not Satan who brings Job up, it's God who brings up Job. It's God who says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, calling him by name? Have you considered him? And Satan says, yeah, I've considered him, but you're blessing him because of what he does for you. We read this story here in Exodus chapter 31. It is, I have called by name, Bezalel. And as we've talked often, especially in the pages of the Old Testament, names in Hebrew of certain people take on high significance. And it's no different for this man, Bezalel. His name means in the shadow of the Lord. In the shadow of the Lord. Even his pedigree was strong. As we're told here, as God is talking to Moses, and he lets him know that I've called by name Bezalel, and then he tells him where he's from and who he's about. He's the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And maybe those names ring a bell to you, maybe they don't, but I'll give you one indication. Bezalel's grandfather, Hur, should ring a bell, because he's popped up in Scripture before. In Exodus chapter 17, when the Israelites were fighting against the Amalekites and Moses was holding the rod of God up and they were doing very well and he got tired and his hands dropped and they didn't do very well. And he'd raise his hands up and they did very well and his hands would drop and they didn't do very well. And so they caught wind of that, right? And so two men step forward to hold the arms of Moses, Aaron and Hur, in Exodus 17. This man, Bezalel, called by God for a very specific purpose, for a very specific job. And for us, as we make application, it is just the same. Because we too, as children of God, we too, as Christians, we too, as followers of God, are called for a very specific purpose, a very specific job. In the New Testament, hold your finger in Exodus 31. We'll certainly come back there. In the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, in writing there to the brethren in Ephesus, will talk a little bit about this specific kind of thing. And he says in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We're created in Christ Jesus to do good things for God. We're created in Christ Jesus for this purpose. The scripture reading that was read by Mark at the very beginning of our time together in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, and hopefully it rang a bell, that passage, because it was the exact same passage that we had read this morning before Brother Kevin's lesson. There in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and he used it to reference the incredible adjectives that are used there to talk about God's church or the body of Christ, as he makes mention of. That we are a chosen generation, that we are a royal priesthood, that we are a holy nation, his special people. But the rest of that verse reminds us that we are all of those things, but we are to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We have passages like Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we begin to think about the calling that we have from God to praise him in the way that is described for us by Peter, to work for him and to be all about him and his will and his business, to set our own will aside for his way. When we begin to think about all of those kinds of things, especially in those large, overreaching kind of ideas, it can at times be overwhelming to think about. When we begin to think about, even as Brother Kevin made mention, that often we like to compartmentalize our life because that makes everything easy. I can be this person at work, and then I can leave him there and be this person at home, and I can leave him there and be this person somewhere else. It makes things easy. When we begin to think about the life of a Christian, that is the only compartment that there is. And sometimes we think, well, that's overwhelming. But I'll contend that sounds even more simple. It's not all of these compartments. It's one compartment. That's it. I'm a Christian. And I am called to proclaim God and praise him in my life. When? All the time. Sometimes it is that all the time that overwhelms us. And as we begin to think about the thoughts of this overwhelming us, I'll direct your attention back to Exodus chapter 31. What do you think Bezalel was thinking? What do you think he was thinking? I don't know if he had been given the information already or if Moses delivers the message. Hey, you know all of this, maybe it's all written down and he just dumps it on Bezalel's desk. You know, all that stuff that God's been talking about of building the tabernacle and everything involved with that. You know, Aaron the high priest and all his sons, the priests, all that they're going to wear. You know, there's been some pretty specific instructions concerning that. God wants you to do it. Who? Me? Wants me to do that? When we focus just on those kinds of things, it can be overwhelming. But that's not what Bezalel's role was. His role was to focus on God, what God wanted. And for us, that's what our focus needs to be. Our focus needs to be just on God. If we're able to do that, those things that seem overwhelming become much more doable. One final passage on this point in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The very outset of that letter that Paul writes to the brethren there in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he begins in verse 25 with this: "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." We are called to glorify God. We are called to glorify God in every aspect of our life. Each and every aspect of our life, we are called to glorify him. And like Bezalel, who is called by name for this very specific purpose, we as Christians are called by name for also a very specific purpose. And that is to glorify God. Every opportunity that we have, every chance that we have, every phase of our life, we do it to God's glory. Focusing fully on him. But there's one other thing about the story of Bezalel that sticks out that I think can be helpful. Is that not only was he called by God for this commission, secondly, he was gifted by God for this task. If we go back to Exodus chapter 31 and we see in verse 3 that God saying, "I have filled him with the Spirit of God." That phrase is one that's familiar in the Old Testament, being filled with the Spirit of God. But I'll tell you here with Bezalel is the very first time that this phrase occurs in Scripture. God says, I filled him with the Spirit of God. And God gave him what he needed to accomplish his will. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and skill. What an incredible list that we see here. God says, I've given him what he needs to get this task done. I've given him what he needs. I've given him wisdom and understanding and knowledge and skill, all manner of workmanship. Because it's not just one craft that Bezalel is called upon. Did you see here in Exodus 31? It's all host of different crafts. Working with metal, working with gems, working with wood, working with fabric. Bezalel is going to be ahead of all of those things. But God says, I have given him what he needs to get this done. I've provided him. I've gifted him. I have blessed him with what he needs to get this done. But I think there's also something interesting that we see in the story of Bezalel, that not only has God given him these necessary components and blessings to get this task done, he also provides for him help from other folks. And it's interesting the way that we see it. In chapter 31 and verse 6 specifically, did you take notice? That, "And I have appointed with them Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, the tribe of Dan. And I put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans that they may make all that I have commanded you." Just a couple of pages over in the book of Exodus again in chapter 36. Just a few chapters over. In chapter 36, Bezalel's name is mentioned again. And he says in verse 1 beginning that Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. Pastor Leo, he had people helping him. He had people helping him. He had people there with him, helping him complete the task that he's been given. And again, when we think about what we are called to do, the task that we've been given, we've received blessings specifically from God, but also we've been given others to surround us to help. In the book of 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians specifically, we're close to where we were just a moment ago, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul will say this, "But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." And then he'll go on to talk about that to the body, everyone has their own blessings. Everyone has their own roles. Everything works together. And when everyone is using what they have been given by God and they are working together, incredible things for God can be accomplished. But we're reminded here in verse 11 of chapter 12 that these things have been distributed to each one individually as he wills. We've been in 1 Peter already, but once again in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, specifically, Peter here will talk about the fact that as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It is the idea of using the gifts that I have been given, doing my part. Bezaleel was gifted, was blessed with incredible gifts. And then he was called upon to put those to use. And each and every one of us, each and every one of us, we have been blessed, we have been gifted with incredible gifts and blessings from God. And just like Bezaleel, we are called upon by God to put those things to use. And the reality is that each and every one of us, well, individually, have to give an account. We'll have to answer to God with how we have used what we have been blessed with. Bezaleel was blessed with incredible gifts. And he was called upon to put those things to use. And so as we close, I want us to think one more thing about Bezaleel. That in order for all of this to work, in order for the tabernacle to get completed in the way that it was, in the way that God wanted it to be completed, yes, Bezaleel was given incredible gifts by God. Yes, he was called by name for this purpose. But he had to still do the job. We know the job was completed, and I think we know it's completed because of a couple of things we have on the screen, because the reality is in order for all of these things to work, there has to be a readiness. That is the idea of being prepared and ready at any moment. We are ready to do what God has in store. But along with that readiness, there has to be a willingness, that obedient heart, to simply go in the direction that God says. The book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 40. As I made mention at the very beginning, beginning there in chapter 36 down through chapter 40, the tabernacle and all the things that God instructed to be built is built. And as the book of Exodus comes to a close, the very end of the book ends with this. In Exodus chapter 40 and verse 34, it says that the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys. Now, we've talked about incredible pictures given to us in Scripture. And there's one right there. God, His glory filling the tabernacle. And by day, a cloud resting above it. By night, a fire resting above it. All built by this man, Bezaleel. A sanctuary for God. An incredible story of a man who was called by name for a specific purpose. An incredible story who was gifted by God blessings that he put to use because he was ready and willing for whatever God had in store. And so for each and every one of us, the parallel is exactly the same. Because as child of God, children of God, we are called by Him for a very specific purpose. And we have each been given a very specific set of gifts and blessings that He expects us to put to use. But we must be ready and willing, just like Bezaleel was, to glorify God in spectacular ways, as we read in the book of Exodus. A remarkable story about a remarkable man that is mentioned by name just a couple of times. It's interesting if you have an opportunity throughout this week to just thumb through Exodus 36 through 40 and make note of all of the times that he is found. And it is Bezaleel heading over all of the things that are put together. It is a remarkable story of a remarkable man that teaches us remarkable lessons. A man that not many of us know by name, but God did. And maybe we sit and we think, you know, no one knows who I am. I'm not that important of a person. I'm not that spectacular of a person. My closest of friends may know my name, but really no one else does. But the only thing that matters is that God knows my name. And He's able to know each and every one of us on an intimate level, as He did with Bezaleel. And just like He called him, He has called each and every one of us individually. But just like Bezaleel had to make that determination to follow that calling, we too have to do that. And as we go throughout this week, it gives us an opportunity to think about those things, to make sure we're taking advantage of all that God has done and given to us. And so as we're closed and we have an opportunity now to be thinking about our relationship with God, Tim is going to lead us in a song of invitation. It is an opportunity for us to consider where we are with God, the relationship. We've talked a little bit about that tonight. The incredible relationship that we have with God. And it is an incredible relationship, and it is an incredible blessing. But it is only those blessings to those who are in Christ, who have had their sins washed away. And if you're here this evening and you are in sin, but know that you need to be in Christ, let's take advantage of this opportunity and do something about that. But maybe there's something else that we can help you with in some way. And if that's the case, you let us know as we stand.